Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Los Angeles-based jazz pianist and composer Cameron Graves on the new 2022 CD Live from the Seven Spheres. It's due out on April 8th, 2022 on Artistry Music and triumphantly reconvenes his core quartet featuring guitarist Colin Cook, bassist Max Girl, and drummer Mike Mitchell. Cameron calls this the third chapter in the Trinity, and he opens up about this, COVID living, the future, and so much more. Enjoy.
Hey, man, thanks for rendezvousing with the show. I know we spoke before while we were knee-deep in the pandemic, so it's great to catch up. Hopefully we're entering better times.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, you know, and I guess the thing is that you basically did a live rendition of Spheres, and the beauty of right now is that we are getting to that place, hopefully, where there are more live shows, more live music, just a better chance to do this. How does this release feel for you?
I'm really happy about this release, actually, because, yes, of course, it kind of sets it up for the live shows, you know, and, I mean, that's where the power lies in that music and in the band and stuff is definitely our live performance, you know. Like Frank Zappa would say, you know, the live show is kind of like where you can come and you see it's only a one-time deal. You know, everything that happens there on the stage at that point in time is the only time you'll ever really see that. And even though there's the records and what we recorded, sometimes definitely during the live shows, things happen, music gets played that is, you know, just a one-time experience, you know. So definitely looking forward to the live shows.
During this time that we've had during the pandemic of, you know, lockdown and self-reflection, what are some things now that we're kind of reemerging that you learned about yourself that maybe you didn't realize before that will make you stronger as a musician as you get out and promote this new live album?
Wow. Actually, I mean, I learned quite a lot, to tell you the truth. And a lot of it didn't really even have to do with music. You know, first of all, I did a big, like, financial study on myself, man. I had to really just kind of learn the ins and outs of finances, man, and just really get a good system going for myself to really be able to just kind of a long-term investment kind of thing, you know, because a lot of times musicians and artists and stuff, you know, it's not that steady job, you know, where you're always kind of getting paid. Sometimes you'll get a 2 or 3 months of getting a lot of money, and then all of a sudden 2, 3 months, 4 months, there's no money, right? So it's a different kind of system for musicians, artists, even actors too. Same thing, you know, starting out when you're not getting all the big roles and stuff like that. So that was one big study of myself. The other one was just my mind in general, learning how to deal with the two parts of your mind. You have like your true mind, your true self, as it were, and then you have your false self. You know, you can kind of say devil, angel. You can say true self, false self. You can say, some people say God and the ego. But those two dual forces inside of yourself, everybody has it. But I kind of like finally recognized it. And I've been so far just kind of practicing that. And that has a lot to do with my career, music, going forward into the future in general. Because a lot of times, your true self or the God or the angel inside of you is saying, is knowing exactly where to go and how to do it. But then it's your false self, your ego, the devil, whatever you want to call it, on the other shoulder that's constantly, you know, just making noise in your head. You know, how is this going to happen? When can I do this? You know, just constant complaints. And so it's so funny, like, that's the idea, to be able to master yourself, which is really your false self, to be able to make it shut up when you want to make it shut up, you know, and that's a big thing that I kind of learned. And that is what helps for the affirmations, which then helps to just kind of move as you move forward into the future, you can really just make things happen.
Absolutely. You know, and, you know, as we discussed before, you know, your album is such a powerhouse. You know, you all have such, it's a sound that I don't think I've really heard that much in jazz. And it's almost, it's like a new, I mean, there's so much going on and it doesn't let up. And I'm curious, what have been some of the most interesting pieces of feedback that you've gotten from fans about this sound, which is something that probably a lot of people haven't heard in the jazz realm?
It's interesting, you know, because a lot of the fans that actually do end up hitting me up, they're part of that community of fan base that are kind of into this fusion, a new fusion now, which is, you know, the Mono Neon, the Thundercat, you know, Kamasi, Anderson .Paak, the Little Dragon, Jhené Aiko. These are like, so what happens is it's kind of like this fusion of like jazz with hip hop with kind of R&B, but you can't, it's not old school R&B. It's like a new kind of techno disco kind of R&B. And it's just like this melting pot, you know, Flying Lotus is part of that. So those fans, I always usually get talked to a lot of those fans because they hit me up on Instagram and stuff. And, you know, I keep in touch with a lot of them, very close. And they really do recognize and love the thrash aspect of the record because they recognize the melting of that, like jazz with thrash metal. And which has been done before in the past, not to the extent of where almost like the metal is the star of the song, that energy is the star of the song, but then dressing it with jazz theory and jazz kind of philosophy, you know, in terms of improv and chord changes and time signatures and things like this. But it's really interesting how people have definitely taken to the energy of it, and that energy they know definitely comes from the thrash part of it, you know. So it's really cool. I've had some really cool conversations.
You know, the one thing that I've noticed in interviews with musicians that are starting to get back out there is there's almost this phenomenon of being kind of in shock to have that many eyeballs on you while you're on stage. And I'm curious, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's weird, but you know, it's like they're not used to it. So have you thought about that phenomenon as you get up there more and more and have more people to kind of enter this realm that we've been largely away from for 2 years?
You know, that's a funny question because it's almost like muscle memory, to tell you the truth, because, I've done thousands of shows, I mean, with other people plus myself. And so the kind of like the awkwardness, the nervousness of being on stage, it hits you a little bit coming back off the pandemic. You get a few of these new shows, and you're trying something different, or you're coming out with some different guys or some different musicians because not everybody else is around. And so, yeah, you get a little bit of nervousness, but then it really just goes away because of the muscle memory of doing it for so long. It comes back. And you just, it feels like you're back in the mix. You're back at home. You're back, like, doing what you need to be doing, you know? And that feeling of doing what you need to be doing gives you the confidence, gives you the power, for sure.
What do you hope we all realize about this long time away from music that we're slowly getting back to now and hopefully back in earnest? Like as far as, like, the appreciation of a live element that we haven't had for a long time.
Yeah, I think that people are going to realize that there is nothing that can replace going and seeing a live band perform. Because during the pandemic, you didn't have that at all. And what happened was we all kind of switched to social media, where everybody was doing kind of these live streaming shows. And also they would do the little clips and contents of each other and themselves kind of playing at home, playing a piece on their instruments and all these kinds of things, which was very interesting. And then it actually got flooded because so many musicians were kind of taking to social media and saying, hey man, I gotta put myself out there, I gotta keep myself going. But as you can tell, like, that the energy was different. The energy is not there, like the back and forth between the artists on stage and the listeners and just that communication, even the silent telepathic communication that happens between people on stage and the audience. I mean, it's just, you can't beat it, you know? And then showing up as a listener to a live show and, you know, that aspect of, first of all, seeing and hearing something for the first and only time because it's something different. Maybe there's some improv that it's the one and only time that you'll ever be able to hear that. Number one. Number two, just the power of the musicians coming off the stage, you know, like all the chops and all the playing and stuff. I mean, it's just a different kind of energy. And I think that it's funny how now it seems as though people are kind of rebelling against COVID restrictions and stuff like that, just so they can just go to the concert, go to the show, because there's just nothing like it, you know? And then everything else, all the other things, the vendors, the food vendors, the festival vibe, you know, walking around, you know, hanging out with friends. And I mean, it's just nothing like it. So I think that people definitely learned that there's really no replacement for that, you know?
Yeah.
So we have to get back to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get down to the good business of where everybody can pick up this new live album, shows that are coming up, anything that you have that is all things Cameron that people can pick up.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I got a show coming up this week, actually, Wednesday at San Jose State University at the Hammer Theater, and that is going to be at 7 o'clock p.m., You can pick up the new record and all my other records. I mean, you can visit me on Spotify. Follow me on Spotify, of course. Apple Music, of course, Cameron Graves. But also Instagram, at Cam on Piano. TikTok, at Cam on Piano. Facebook, Cameron Graves. So that way you can keep up with me. I post a lot, so I post all my dates and all the things special. And later this month we'll be at Tuckfest in Charlotte, North Carolina, at the festival down there. So definitely looking forward to that. And that's gonna be kind of like the full band. We'll be down there with the quartet playing all the tunes from the record and stuff. So looking forward to it.
Hey Cameron, thank you for taking some time out. Great to catch up with you. Good luck with the album and the return to the stage.
Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, Joe, great to talk.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Los Angeles, Kansas City, and spots all over the globe, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Cameron for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit neonjazz@youtube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.